Hey everybody, this is Brian.
And this is Josh.
Welcome to the podcast for Curiosity Continuum.
Curiosity Continuum is an industry-innovating, non-traditional company passionate about growing wisdom in the next generation.
We are the essential bridge between the analog and digital worlds by building collaborative communities that unleash the power of adaptive expertise and innovation needed to thrive in the 21st century.
We combine and mix essential elements needed to empower people to succeed in new ways, not possible outside of a creative, thoughtful, diverse community of fellow curious people.
Follow us on your favorite podcast app to receive notifications of new content. If you like what you hear and want to dive deeper, visit us at curiositycontinuum.com. Thanks for tuning in. Let's start the conversation.
Just above and beyond, you know, and then if you look at like the Onion Online or harddrive.net, which is the gaming version of that.
Babylon Bee.
Those are all satirical sites. They're taking like an issue that's relevant in society and like flipping it around. So it's kind of like a funny thing. And then what that does is the humor allows it to reset a little bit. And then you start thinking about it. Like, why is that funny? And usually it's because it's something like outrageous. You know, it's just like, and I'll give it to these sites that I didn't think they were going to be able, because like 5 years ago, what was satire is like true.
Right.
So now they have to go even farther. And I didn't realize if they could do it, but they're doing it. And I think it's starting to work where people are saying, okay, some of this stuff is just a little crazy. Let's just take a little step back, you know?
But it's you know, satire is one of my favorites. I think some of, I don't know if you'd call Far Side satire. It might be of like a sort. It's almost like
It's a parody.
It's a parody, yeah. So maybe that's in the same continuum of everything. I love the fact that it pokes fun at something that's a little obscure.
Right.
You know, or right. It's like, how do you make this so that everybody can understand the absurdity of it?
And that's what satire is. You're like showing it in a way that people are like, oh, well, why are we even doing that to begin with?
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, one of my favorite books by C.S. Lewis is Screwtape Letters.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're familiar with this.
No, book. Not.
Okay. Screwtape Letters is, there's like Screwtape is like this demon, right? And he's writing to this other demon, right? About it's like he's like a junior demon learning to be like a senior demon.
Oh, sure, okay.
And what it does is like talks about how to basically torture a Christian, right? And this is C.S. Lewis writing it. But instead of like talking about like here's apologetics, because C.S. Lewis, he's known for Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe, Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
He's also known to be a really brilliant Christian apologist. So for those who may not know that dimension about him, him and J.R.R. Tolkien were colleagues, and they traded letters back and forth and stuff like that, right? And they were part of this group called the Inklings. Well, this book talks about it from like the demon's perspective.
Oh, right.
Okay. You know, it's like, if you just give a little bit of blah, and it's kind of teaching him how to be a demon in order to deceive, in order to...
Right. Okay.
And it's a great way to look at it because it makes you understand the issues that you face
the other side
differently. Yeah. And I like, it's really a fascinating read because you don't see it from that perspective. You see it only from...
That's what it's for. You're supposed to like, so you're just trying to like say, okay, like, oh, interesting.
There's a poignancy that comes only when you have a really hard flip to like the counter perspective and you say it like ridiculously so.
And not only that, but it's like that is the way that people can put themselves in a different frame of mind. And it's a different context. It's like what CC talks about. But we don't really do it in like a humorous way usually. But this is what I think if you really lean into it, can really change hearts and minds pretty quickly. Because if they start understanding why you think it's absurd, then maybe they'll be like, maybe this is a little weird. And they may not change their mind, but they might be able to at least kind of start coming to like an agreement or an understanding of why you have a different mindset.
Like the, okay, I get it.
Right.
Right.
And like we can agree to disagree. If you can get to that point,
that's progress.
I think that's really good progress. But like some people today like won't even get to that point.
To me, it's like, you know, if I've had to dig out in the dirt sometimes, like growing up or even my adult life. And in Tennessee especially, there's like heavy clay. And right. It gets even heavier when you get down to Georgia. But you have to break that stuff up. And it's a hard job to break up really hard dirt. But once it gets started and you have a way in, you can kind of like do it.
Right.
Like I remember my mom, we had this old tiller. I don't remember the brand of the tiller, but like I thought it was old back in the 80s when I saw her using it. It was old then.
Right.
And she would go out and, you know, she said like you have to till the ground because it has to be basically prepared to be able to receive the seed. And then, you know, be covered up and watered, and then you kind of watch things grow. I'm reminded where I think sometimes it's so easy to kind of almost trot on the ground of the field of your opinions, if that makes sense.
Right.
It becomes really packed down, really solidified. And when something comes along that may pop it up, you might say, you just ruined my field. But you got to ask yourself the question, is anything growing there anymore?
Right. Like, is it a fertile field, right? Like, is it like something you can actually like have an idea on? And usually it's not, but I think people get so easily it's so easy to stay the same. It's hard to change. And it's hard to even take a different perspective, but that's what, like, even we talk about all the time, like your context, put yourself in another frame. That's what this is about. And if you can just even start to do that, then and it's not easy at first. You have to like train yourself to do it. And I don't think a lot of people understand that you really have to take the small steps to begin with. And sometimes that is through humor, where that's an easy in. Like you can look at that. It's all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find.
It's to catch you kind of unaware.
Right.
And there's other ways, like I know like there's a lot of leadership personalities like Tony Robbins, like they'll use like language, it'll be like foul language to kind of like jolt your operating system. So all of a sudden like you're like, wait, what's going on? And like you listen to
it. You pay attention.
Yeah. There's reasons why he uses it. But the humor does the same thing, right?
Right.
And it makes you listen differently because all of a sudden it comes out of like so out of like left field. You're like, well, how do I deal with that? And honestly, like sometimes you don't necessarily know what to do with it, but at least it like kind of lays it there.
And what's interesting too is if you're like a group of people and like one or two people find it humorous, but like two or three don't. And then those other people are like trying to think why you're laughing, you know?
And then you're thinking about why they're not laughing.
Right. And then that actually brings people together a little bit because you're like, okay, you might have this conversation later. Some people are like, oh, well, that's not funny. And be like, okay, well, let's have the conversation why it's not funny.
Yeah, why don't you think it's funny?
Right, and you're totally okay to have your opinion. Like, there are some things that are bad taste.
Of course.
And I mean, I'm like the king of bad taste, like a lot of times. But like, there's, you know, there's jokes to be made and stuff like that. But there's like, but it brings the conversation. Because really, all you want to have is the conversation. To have kind of like hearts and minds, really. It's not even like they have to be like hearts and minds, but it's like have the conversation so that we can actually talk about the problem.
And, you know, I go back to like the field thing. So I think about my mom tilling. There's times when like, especially in modern agriculture, like you plant the same thing in the same field.
Right.
Again and again. Until if you actually you do it right, rather than use artificial fertilizers, you plant like alfalfa. And you purposely don't harvest it because it goes back into the ground.
Right? Right.
It does a different thing. Sometimes, like that crop that you plant, it may not be the actual crop that pops up later or even supports the crop later. Right. And when I say crop, I'm like really like it's the thinking. Right. I'm going to plant this thought. It's so not even the thing you want to grow, but it's going to like create like a nutrient bed. It's going to give you something to pull on so that other thought can grow.
Right. And you'd be surprised, like even if you have a conversation like that or like a humorous thing, somebody might come back to you like a week later and say, remember that thing we were looking at? Because they were thinking about it. And it's like, what was called it with like my grandfather, like planting the seed, like he would act like he didn't hear you. And he never like responded to you. And then it was like 10 minutes later, he'd be like, tell you like the exact thing you told him. And they'd be like, yeah, great, Grandpa. That's a good idea. You know,
that's a great idea.
But Grandpa, that's kind of what it is. It's planting the seed to start the thought process. And people all move at different rates. And it's, I think it's wrong to ask somebody to like change their whole mindset and like your timeline. They have to come to it, because otherwise it's not a lasting change or meaningful even a meaningful conversation. So like they'll just totally shut you out and you won't have any. So you can't really push on it. You just have to kind of let them, you kind of like just lead them to it.
You just plant the seed.
Yeah.
And you know, I've appreciated when people have planted a seed and after kind of I go through my own process with it.
Right.
I'm like, I don't really agree with that. And this is why. I have an opinion about it.
Right.
You know, even like if you look at even how people come to political conclusions, especially in the United States, if you understood the reasons why, even if you vehemently disagree with the decision that was made,
you can understand where they're coming from.
And look, folks, there is no perfect candidate on the planet here. Ever.
No.
In any stretch of human history, never. But it gets you to go, oh, okay, I can understand that. And I think that what we need is more appetite to understand. And whatever tools it takes to help us do that, I think it can be a very good outworking.
Well, and part of it is having something above that like both people care about. So like if you're in like politics, ideally it should be like the country, right?
Or an issue or a topic.
But the top part, like over even the issues, should be like what do you feel is good for like the country, right?
For everybody.
So right. So when you're even fighting on certain issues, you could say, oh, well, right now it does that serve the ultimate purpose? You know, so because I mean, that's how people used to make compromises, especially in politics. They used to be like, I don't really agree with that, but can we go here? And it was a compromise. Nobody got what they wanted, but it moved you closer to what's good for everyone.
Everybody. And you know, like, especially in a postmodern society where you really kind of remove like the eternal referral point and stuff.
Right.
It's like, it makes me wonder if that's some of the outworking of it, where everything's fighting to be like the preeminent or the priority piece of information that, or consideration, right? Whatever it may be, it's like something's competing. It's just like, what are we going to agree on to aim toward? And the answer is yes. It's like, well, wait, so what are we doing here, folks?
Yeah, you're not agreeing on one thing, like one central thing.
Yep.
And if everyone's fighting everybody constantly, it's just like, it just gets into this like quagmire, which is kind of what a lot of it has become, especially in like politics, mm-hmm. where it's like, you're arguing to argue. And it's not an ideological point anymore. It's like, I don't like that person.
You lose sight of
the yeah, and so that's what like humor and satire can help kind of bring out and kind of pop out. If you kind of can get people out of that thinking, that rut, and we've talked about that a lot in these last few episodes, like getting out of the rut, because it's important to actually be able to say like, you don't take it so personally. If you can look at it from like more of a logical standpoint, which I know is hard sometimes, because there a lot of issues are. Have a real core of being emotional, or like it's a moral issue. So there's like a definite for you, like a definite yes, definite no. But even if you can think that, you have to be able to look at it from someone else's point of view so that you can see where they're coming from. Otherwise, you're never, ever going to be able to have a conversation.
Just put a comma here, Josh.
Sure, Brian.
Until next time, this is Brian.
This is Josh.
For Curiosity Continuum.
Politics, where it's like you're arguing to argue, and it's not an ideological point anymore. It's like, I don't like that person.
you lose sight of
the yeah, and so that's what like humor and satire can help kind of bring out and kind of pop out. If you kind of can get people out of that thinking, that rut, and we've talked about that a lot in these last few episodes, like getting out of the rut, because it's important to actually be able to say like, you don't take it so personally. If you can look at it from like more of a logical standpoint, which I know is hard sometimes because there a lot of issues are have a real core of being emotional or like it's a moral issue. So there's like a definite for you, like a definite yes, definite no. But even if you can think that, you have to be able to look at it from someone else's point of view so that you can see where they're coming from. Otherwise, you're never, ever going to be able to have a conversation.
Just put a comma here, Josh.
Sure, Brian.
Until next time, this is Brian.
This is Josh.
For Curiosity Continuum. Thank you.